The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Welcome to today's reading of Soap Opera Digest. I'm Deborah Morrell for the Virginia Voice. Our first article is an exclusive about Bold and Beautiful's alumni Maeve Quinlan, who was at one time dating Matthew Perry, and she breaks her silence on Matthew Perry's death. Bold and Beautiful alum Maeve Quinlan, who used to play Megan, dated Matthew Perry at the height of his friend's fame. And while the romance didn't last, their friendship endured. For the first time since his death last year, she opens up about their relationship and reflects on his passing. It was in 1994 that Maeve Quinlan, who used to play Megan on Bold and Beautiful, first met Matthew Perry, the beloved Friends alumni who passed away in October. At the time, both were just carving out their respective showbiz careers and resided in the same building. We lived at 999 Doheny Drive in L.A., recounts the actress. In a meet-cute worthy of a sitcom, she knew him only as the cute guy by the elevator, but I never knew his name. So he became known to me as cute guy by the elevator. We would always run into each other at the same time, usually when I was coming back from acting class or a night out. Then, one night, I was out with friends and I saw this guy, and he kept looking at me, and I kept looking at him, she recalls. And finally, we were like, do we know each other? Their conversation led them to realize that they were both accomplished tennis players. Matthew had been nationally ranked in Canada. Quinlan had attended USC on a tennis scholarship and had gone pro for a while. They both were pivoting to acting, continues Quinlan. I was like, what would I have seen you in? And he said, oh, nothing. I'm in a bunch of failed pilots and some TV shows you probably wouldn't have seen, but I played a tennis player on Beverly Hills 90210. But then he said, I'm out with my cast, so I better get back to them. We just shot this other pilot that I'm hoping will go, so I'm pretty excited. We went our separate ways that night without even saying goodbye. A week later, their prior connection was made clear. I walked into my building and theirs, cute guy by the elevator, the actress says. He was about to push the button, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and we were like, oh my gosh, this is how we know each other. As we stepped into the elevator, he gave me his name, and I asked, so what's the name of your pilot? He said, it's called Friends Like Us. And I was like, cool, good thoughts. I hope it goes. I'll look out for it. As the elevator doors opened on my floor and I stepped out, he held the doors open and kindly asked, hey, wait, how's acting going for you? I told him I had done 2 Super Bowl commercials and a day on The Bold and Beautiful, but so far, that was it. He said, I bet Bold and Beautiful brings you back. Love the name. The doors shut. And I never saw cute guy by the elevator again until 6 months later when I turned on the TV on a Thursday night. There he was on a show now called Friends and not Friends Like Us. I yelled at my roommate, that's cute guy by the elevator. And there on this new show were the castmates he was out with that night. I had the biggest crush on him, but I never saw him again because by the time the show was picked up, he had, like every actor does, moved to the Hollywood Hills. Fast forward to 2002, when Quinlan and Perry ran into each other at a charity tennis event. We got on like a house on fire, she smiles. Initially, it was romantic. At the time, Quinlan was aware of the actor's addiction issues. When Matthew and I embarked on a romantic relationship, he was 100% sober, and I was very open about his previous struggles, she explains. He said yes, he knew that she needed to know everything. That was his one fully sober year, and we were practically inseparable. One of the reasons he liked being with me was that I did not do drugs. Though their romantic relationship didn't pan out, we morphed into eventually and seamlessly just being best friends, like brother and sister, Quinlan notes, describing the Perry she knew at the time as so funny, very self-deprecating. He was the guy every guy wanted to hang out with and every girl wanted to date. He was the guy next door. He was at the height of his fame, and he was the exact same guy I met in 1994. He was kind of unsure of himself. He wasn't, believe it or not, completely confident with girls, even though he had dated the likes of Julia Roberts. As their friendship deepened, Quinlan shares, I spent a lot of time with him and with both sides of his family, and he with mine. He was a great son and a really proud big brother. He loved my family, too, and was especially adorable with my now late mother. I would catch him slipping cigarettes to my mom when she didn't even smoke. She laughs. I asked her, Mom, what are you doing? And she looked at me and dryly said, I'm smoking with Matthew Perry, as if to say, and your problem is? I gave up after that. But he made an old woman feel young again. He was so good to her and proud to introduce her to everyone when he'd have her join me at the Friends tapings. It was a really beautiful thing to watch. He was so good like that. My niece and nephews would fly in from Ireland to visit me, and he would actually roll out the red carpet for them. Quinlan and Perry spent a lot of time together on the tennis court. We had a big tennis group that we formed with our friends and instructor, Drew Kirstein, and our mutual friend, Hank Azaria, that eventually grew into a who's who of celebrity tennis players who were our friends. Scott Foley, Gavin Rosdale, she says. We'd always take the college kids we played tennis with out to dinner, and Maddie always picked up the tab. He traveled in the best group of guys who were more brothers than friends, the majority of whom were the exact same guys he started off his career with, Azaria being the top of that list. Once Matthew and I reconnected, we traveled in a pack, not unlike the sitcom he was on. He was so solid, and unfortunately not solid in other ways. Sadly, Perry's addiction issues proved not to be a thing of the past. Quinlan admits, I had no idea how much he was internally struggling because his main focus was always making other people happy and laughing. He really thought the fame would make it all better, but it did not. It didn't surprise the actress that Perry concealed his difficulties from her. He was protective of me because he knew my first husband, the late actor Tom Sizemore, was an addict, she explains. Because Matthew was always so extremely careful around me, I never saw him take a drink or abuse any substances. When we were inseparable, he was totally sober. As the years went on, he would hide it from me if he wasn't doing well. He had some nasty and scary near-death stuff that he kept from me, as he hated to disappoint me if he was using. That's when he would go silent. And when I wouldn't hear from him, I knew it was because he was not doing well. And I knew he never would want me to know that he wasn't doing well. He would tell me later, but when he relapsed, he would isolate. I'd hear it from him, but well after the fact. Their contact slowly tapered off. In the last few years, he would not even try and reach out, Quinlan sighs. She got some insight into why via his best-selling memoir, 2022's Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing, in which he pulled few punches in detailing the severity of his drug abuse. A mutual friend gave me his book, and she said, "If you read it, please call and tell him that you're proud of him," Quinlan shares. "I read the book, and I was beyond shocked and devastated. Every page was very hard to turn. I knew some of his pain because he had told me, but I didn't know the extent of all his pain. I had no idea about how serious these drug rehabs were or the amount of them. I worried all the time, but still I had no idea the state he was in. There was so much he kept hidden, so much suffering inside. I read it, finished it, and I never called him. I suppose out of self-preservation. I was still worried about him, and I was scared of what I might hear. He knew the pain more than anyone that I had inside from trying to get my ex-husband sober. But you can't make someone sober. I sadly learned from that marriage. They have to do it themselves," admits Quinlan. "I regret to this day that I did not call Matthew to tell him I was proud of him. It took a lot of guts and bravery for him to write that book and be so brutally honest. I know him well enough to say he didn't write that book for himself. He wrote that book to selflessly help others get sober by seeing his own difficult journey. I hope it helped others, I really do." Her remorse over not reaching out to Perry, she says, is one of the reasons I have not been able to post about him since his passing. Because while boundaries and tough love at times is necessary, compassion and love always has to be there. I wish I had made sure he had that from me. I absolutely adored him, and I absolutely adore his wonderful family. I couldn't stop thinking about them as I read the book, and I most especially can't stop thinking about them now, the greatest people. I should have called Maddie after I read it, she concludes. I wish I had called him and told him how much I cared for him. Not that that would have changed anything, but I think it would have helped me to get over it. Her advice? Never make my mistake. Always call the ones you love, and often, most especially when they need to hear that the most. When Quinlan learned of Perry's death, I was devastated, she says. It wasn't a shock, but I still couldn't believe it happened. And although we hadn't seen each other in a while, I miss him very much. He was truly a close friend. When I drive by our old apartment building on Doheny, I think so fondly of our elevator meetups and the fate that building had in store for both of us. Not just later for us personally, but because it's the building we both lived in when we each got cast in the longest-running shows of both of our careers, Friends for him and Bold and Beautiful for me. Quinlan reflects, "To know him sober was the greatest gift of all. As the years went on, so many of us lost Maddie little by little to his disease, And the important part of that sentence is that it is a disease. The best gift we could ever give Matthew in return for all the joy he gave us is to honor his wish that he be remembered for his work and success in helping others get sober through his foundation, the Matthew Perry Foundation. Donate and just spread the word via reporting his foundation on social media. That's how we celebrate the one and only Matty, who the world knew as Matthew Perry. And that is the article, Bold and Beautiful Alumni Maeve Quinlan Breaks Her Silence on Matthew Perry's Death. Our next article is also about a Bold and Beautiful alumni, Krystalyn Lloyd. The article is titled, Krystalyn Lloyd Faces Eviction. Bold and Beautiful's alumni, Krystalyn Lloyd, ex-Daisy, posted an emotional message on Instagram revealing that she is facing eviction and asking those who are able to donate to an emergency GoFundMe. I am posting this because, full transparency, your girl, me, isn't doing well, she began. This week, I have been served eviction papers by my landlord. If you've ever been to my apartment to dine or drink or sleep or cuddle or self-tape, dance, party, kiki, or meet my kitties, you know what a blessing this place has been for me these past 9 years in New York. I am battling my ego and shame right now asking for help, but with the support of my friends, I have been encouraged to reach out to my community, so here it is. I need help. Lloyd explained, I owe my landlord back pay, not only from the pandemic when my roommate left, but also from the 2 work stoppages last year. I understand this is a significant time of struggle for many of us, so please know I get the weight of this ask. I love my career, and although I have been fortunate to work consistently as an actor, I've accumulated tens of thousands of dollars in debt. As Divine Joy Randolph said after receiving her Oscar, theater actors deserve better pay. I love my life in the arts and still encourage it for those around me. I have 2 nephews, a niece, a brother, sister-in-law, and 3 cousins in the business. But while attempting this life full-time has been the best decision of my life, it has also been the most costly. Managing the accrued debt, even just that outside of my rent, has become impossible. Although I am currently working and thrilled about it, my off-Broadway job alone still does not cover all the bills, let alone previous debt. The actress continued, I am setting up this GoFundMe in hopes of being able to pay the court fees and what I owe my landlord, so that while I am working, I will not be evicted from my beloved apartment. I have 10 days, so there it is. Truly, anything helps, and thank you for reading, sharing, and for any help you have space and capacity for right now. And as it stands now, the actress was hoping to raise $15,000 in the month of March, and she is now up to a total of $39,000. And that is the latest from Bold and Beautiful alumni, Krystalyn Lloyd, who faces eviction in New York City. Now, a General Hospital flashback. 8 pairs of battling General Hospital brothers throughout the years. Number 1, Frisco and Tony Jones. When Frisco, played by Jack Wagner, and Tony, who was played by actor Brad Maul, came face to face in Port Charles in 1984, the tension was plain to see. Frisco was harboring a gigantic grudge against his older brother for carrying on an affair with their dying mother's nurse, Rita, who their dad later married. The men soon worked out their differences and developed a tight bond. Number two, Robert and Mac Scorpio. Mac, played by John York, landed in Port Charles in 1991, and estranged big brother Robert, played by Tristan Rogers, his first act was to punch him and send him flailing into the harbor. Their brawl continued on land. Viewers learned that their divide had been triggered by the tragic plane crash that claimed the life of their parents, with Robert blaming Mac, who had been the pilot of the plane, not to mention abandoning him after the plane went down. In time, the air was cleared, and Robert realized that Mac had not left him for dead after all. The brothers made up for lost time with a close camaraderie that endures to this day. Number three, Jason Quartermain and AJ Quartermain. Golden Child Jason, played by Steve Burton, and Black Sheep AJ, played by Sean Kanan, butted heads frequently in their teenage years. But their relationship was altered permanently in 1995 when AJ crashed his car while driving drunk and his passenger, Jason, sustained brain damage that wiped out his memory. As adults, their bad blood only got worse, from Jason claiming to be the father of AJ's son with Carly, to AJ trying to frame Jason for Louis Alcazar's murder. Number four, Lucky Spencer and Nicholas Cassadine. Lucky, played by Jonathan Jackson, was godsmacked when in 1996 he learned that via his mother, Laura's forced marriage to Stavros, he had a half-brother, brooding Nicholas, played by Tyler Christopher. Their rivalry deepened when Lucky's crush, Sarah, took a shine to Nick, and later when Nick blurted out to Lucky that his dad, Luke, had raped Laura. It took time, but the brothers came to love and respect one another, although they experienced their fair share of ups and downs over the years, as when Lucky discovered that Nick was having an affair with his then-fiance, Liz. Number five, Rick Lansing and Sonny Corinthos. When Rick, played by Rick Hurst, was introduced in 2002, he was harboring a secret. Sonny, played by actor Maurice Bernard, the man he had been seeking to destroy, was his half-brother. They shared a mother, Adela. The reveal of their relationship hardly went over well with Sonny, though it did stop him from killing Rick. Rick did not exactly endear himself to Sonny via such acts as holding a pregnant Carly hostage and colluding with the FBI to send Sonny to jail, but their heated rivalry had mostly cooled by the last time Rick faded from the canvas. Number six, Michael Corinthos and Morgan Corinthos. Michael, played by Chad Dwell, and Morgan, played by Brian Craig, hit a rough patch in their brotherly dynamic in 2013 when Morgan returned from military school with a gambling problem and a girlfriend, Kiki. Morgan picked up on the attraction between Michael and Kiki, which they resolve not to pursue after discovering that they were biologically related. Morgan learned that was not the case, but kept that info to himself to hold on to Kiki. When his duplicity was exposed, Kiki had their new marriage annulled and took up with Michael. Morgan was next in the doghouse with Michael for not telling him that their dad, Sonny, had killed Michael's biological father, AJ. Then, in 2015, Morgan and Kiki conspired to make Michael look like an unfit guardian to Avery. Despite their rocky history, Michael was devastated when Morgan was killed in 2016. Number 7, Jason, Morgan, and Drew Kane. In 2017, when Jason, played by actor Steve Burton, learned he had a twin, Drew, then played by Billy Miller, who had been living as though he was Jason, and Drew learned that he was not, in fact, Jason Morgan, despite having been brainwashed to believe he was. It wasn't exactly kumbaya between the men. And the following year, Drew was heartbroken when Sam left him due to her lingering feelings for Jason. In 2021, though, Drew was appreciative when Jason successfully deactivated him from Peter's mind control and was saddened when his twin appeared to have died while they were escaping from the compound where Drew had been held hostage. And finally, number 8, Kevin Collins and Ryan Chamberlain, twins, both played by actor John Lindstrom, separated at a young age. Kevin was raised by his father, while Ryan remained with their abusive mother. Serial killer Ryan took advantage of his resemblance to his buttoned-up brother, posing as Kevin to escape from a mental institution to wreak more havoc on Port Charles in 1994. After an epic showdown in a hall of mirrors in 1995, it appeared that Ryan was dead. But in 2018, viewers learned that Kevin had secretly squirreled Ryan away at Ferncliff. Ryan got the upper hand on Kevin, locked him up, and assumed his life, using that cover to commit more horrendous acts, including murdering Kiki and seducing an unwitting Ava. His reign of terror finally ended in 2023 when Kevin's best friend, Mac, shot him dead. And that is the soap opera flashback, Brothers, 8 Brother Sets from General Hospital. Well, that's all the time for today. Thank you for joining me for Soap Opera Digest. I'm Deborah Morrell for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.